Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we're going to be speaking about the Billy Meier case. Edward Albert Meier, he's a man in his late 70s. He lives in Switzerland in this tiny remote village called Hinterschmidruti. It's in a very beautiful area with lots of flora and fauna. There's a building there. It's called the Semyase Silver Star Center, and it's the building where the FIGU meets. FIGU is a free community of interests that works together to publish and organize Billy's writings. Billy has written over 40 books and probably thousands of booklets, and the booklets include the contact reports that describe his contacts with extraterrestrial humans. This is a phenomena that occurred in his life and goes back to about 1945 when he was a small boy growing up in Bulak, Switzerland. He started to get telepathic messages from a man named Svath. And Svath was an extraterrestrial human being from a race of beings that originally allowed themselves to be called the Pleiadians. But in 1995, when they left the Earth, they told us that they are not from our Pleiades, but they are from another star system some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space and time configuration. They live on a world called Era, which is very similar to our Earth, except it's in a much more pristine condition. It has a higher oxygen content, of course, no air pollution, no water pollution. They have a slightly higher gravity than we do. They have never detonated atomic bombs in their atmosphere. They live in harmony with nature. They keep their population very low. They don't drill for oil or dig mines. They don't dam up water. They allow their world to exist in a pristine condition, and they allow the flora and the fauna to flourish. And they keep their population in check, so there isn't the need to build all these cities and skyscrapers and factories. And they've existed for about 50,000 years without war. And the reason that they have lived for so long without warfare is because they've learned something called the creational natural laws. The universe has a superintelligence which runs it. And the universe, the universal consciousness, sometimes the Meier material just calls creation. And this universal consciousness is, it's not a heavenly father. It doesn't give you commands. It doesn't behave like a heavenly father. It is a neutral positive entity. It's a impersonal spiritual energy. Now, when I say impersonal, I'm going to tell you something else that is going to cause a little confusion in some ways, because it radiates love. Now, how can something be impersonal yet radiate love? Well, it works something like this, as best as I can tell from the writings, is that our sun, our star, doesn't have a personal relationship with you, but it radiates light and it radiates heat. And that's what allows all the life on our planet to exist. Well, the creation radiates love, but it does it through the visible expression of the splendor of nature. So if you look at a beautiful forest, if you look at a beautiful mountain range, if you're looking at a beautiful lake or a river or some beautiful animals, if you're watching the sun rise and listening to the birds sing, then you are, if you're open, if your senses are open, you're going to feel the radiating love of creation. And creation radiates love. and loves the highest principle in creation, and everything follows that principle in absolute logic. Now, in the Figu material, love is discussed, and it becomes clear that the love that is being discussed is not the mushy, grasping, or humanitarian type of love that we talk about today. But this love concept is an effective love. It's a wisdom-conditioned love. It's not a romantic style of love that is transient. The romantic love is transient in nature, and it causes great despair, and it causes people to have high highs and low lows. However, effective love, on the other hand, is based on our innermost being, and we all have an innermost being, or a capital I, as it's called in the Maya material. And the capital I is the real you. It's the creational you. So let me explain it this way. We have something called the spirit form, which is a tiny fragment of creation. You can look at it that way. It's a tiny fragment of the universal consciousness. It never dies. It never gets sick. It cannot be harmed by anything in the material world. And it resides in your midbrain, in the roof of your midbrain, in the center of what's called the superior colliculus. And it radiates energy throughout your whole life, your whole body. And it's what brings life to your body. And your spirit form will never die. It will live many, 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 many physical lifetimes. Now, the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer is incredibly ancient. And these extraterrestrials, they watch for this spirit form to incarnate in the physical body because they know that it's been a teacher for eons. And they recognize that that spirit form has been their teacher before. And they've seen it incarnate on the earth over the past 10 to 15,000 years. And it's incarnated as the people we call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And it taught this ancient universal teaching that I just started out talking about that has these creational natural laws. Now, I talked just briefly about the first and primary creational natural law is love. And if you operate your life based on wisdom-conditioned love, not affective or romantic love, then you'll have more blessing in your life. The second creational natural law is called the law of striving. And that means you have to work. You have to work at whatever you do. You have to work for a living at your day job, and you have to work at your night job, and you have to continually be working to improve yourself, working to improve your home, working to improve your understanding, because the evolution of your consciousness is the purpose for your existence. And if you follow the law of striving and you focus hard enough, you will be successful and you will be happy. Now, the third creational natural law is called the law of harmony. And if the law of harmony is this, it's that your thinking needs to be neutral positive. And that means you're not too positive. You know, a lot of people that have written positive thinking end up killing themselves. Why? Because they're out of balance. And the Meyer material explains that we need to be neutral positive in our thinking. And that neutral positive thinking is harmoniously balanced, and you're kind of centered. Now, if you get negative, then you're asking for trouble. And again, if you think negatively, you're sowing weeds in your consciousness, weeds that will take on a life of their own. And pretty soon you'll have a whole consciousness full of negativity, which can negatively affect your health and your life. So don't go there. Focus on neutral positive. And the most neutral positive thing in the world is love. That's a positive. Open yourself up. Go out into nature and listen to the sounds of nature. Because I say the birds sing because they sense the radiating love of creation. That's just my own input, not from my information. But all of these creational natural laws are the laws of nature. They're absolute certainty. And when we follow these laws, our life goes better. And that's why the Pleiaren have taught these laws. Let me read a little bit in Love Letter 27 to get back to the first law. No life is able to exist without love and without the light of truth. However, no light is able to exist without love and truth. And no truth is able to exist without light and love. True love is true being, and it is the everlasting warmth from the center of creation. Let me talk about that for a minute. Now notice the description here. This love is said to be warmth, and warmth is a comforting factor. It also brings life. So this kind of love brings life and comfort, and it's not transient. It's said to be everlasting. This love radiates outward from creation. And that's why there's a oneness to all things. And that's what the Meyer information explains when it talks about love, is that you start to understand that your existence is tied up in the existence of other living beings, and that there's really not the separation the way we think it is. So when you start to understand that, then you'll start to feel that everlasting quality of the love that comes from the center of creations. And this love is described as true existence. That's what it means to really, really exist when you start to what's called in the German Empfinden, which is to sense. It's a fine, sensitive feeling that you'll get from the radiating love of creation. Now, it's much easier to sense if you'll go out in nature. And I recommend that people that are starting to feel a little down, a little blue, get themselves outside and listen and watch for this phenomena that will start to occur. Let me continue here. Love is the highest principle in creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. You know, the creational natural laws are completely, absolutely certain. The law of gravity, for example, there's no negotiating with it. You know, if you learn certain technologies, you can work with the law of gravity, and you can build wings and stuff, but the law always exists, and it affects everything. These creational natural laws are absolute in their logic. It goes here on to say the love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Now, 46 trillion years ago, our universe was created by something very similar to the Big Bang. There was also another universe that was created called the Tao universe, which is kind of a parallel universe to ours. Now, this super intelligence, this impersonal spiritual energy, created our universe. Our universe has a universal consciousness. And it created this universe as a part of its own evolution. Okay? All creation in this universe came from this universal consciousness. So, in that sense, we're all a oneness, so to speak. So, that is the nature of understanding who and what we are and what love is. Because nothing would exist if it were not for that universal consciousness. Now, it builds universes as a part of its own evolution. This is the first stage of the evolution of our universe. It's a universe that has a material belt. There are 7 counter-rotating circular belts in our universe. The 4th contains all the stars, all the galaxies, all the solar systems, and only this first stage of a universe has material life. So I say enjoy it. Now, it will last for trillions of years. Our universe will last trillions of years, hundreds of trillions, in fact. It will go through an expansion phase, and it will go through a contraction phase, and then it will sleep, and then it will evolve to a higher form of universe. But your spirit form will go through an evolutionary process. It will reincarnate into the physical and live a physical lifetime, and it will repeat this process. The spirit form will go back to the spirit realm with your material consciousness. Your material consciousness is processed in an area called the overall consciousness block, and all the essences of all the things that you learned that are of lasting value then are turned into what are called these essences, like patience, love, kindness, wisdom. All of these virtues then are absorbed by your spirit form. They strengthen your spirit form. And this process, by nature, is supposed to take about a lifetime and a half. So if you lived 100 years, you should be in the spiritual realm 150 years. And then your spirit form will be pulled into a child again. And that little bit of energy is about as large as the end of a pen. Will fix itself to the roof of the midbrain, the superior colliculus in your midbrain. And then the next thing that comes in is something called material consciousness. The material consciousness has your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind. And within your subconscious mind is the wisdom of your predecessor personalities. Now, this is my own theory, a little bit thinking again. I know we see these kids that are virtuosos, 3 and 4 years old, virtuoso piano players and other instruments. I surmise that what they're pulling from is that experience from the previous life in their subconscious. Because we're designed by nature to not really, at this stage of our evolution, to be able to remember our previous lives. Because that would be too confusing. That would be too overwhelming to relive all of the difficulties and challenges of your previous life while you're trying to live this life. Now, in future incarnations, when we're at higher spiritual levels, when our spirit forms are older, at the fifth stage of evolution is the age of recognitions, I understand. And at that point, we'll be able to get the information from our previous lives. But right now, we live focused on the current life because it's pretty much all we can handle. And that's kind of a blessing also, because we have the blessing of being able to forget. Because there are many things and many difficulties in life, and some of them are best forgotten and moved on. And we should always be focusing on the now, the moment that we're in. And if you get overwhelmed by the circumstances in your life, there are some meditative sentences that the Meyer material talks about, which will help put you back into the current moment. For example, here's one of them. Everything is achievable for me. I master whatever I accomplish. Everything is achievable for me. I master whatever I accomplish. Everything is achievable for me. I master whatever I accomplish. So if there's some difficulty that you're facing in your life, just by repeating those words, your thoughts will start to move in the right direction. That everything, notice how important every one of these words are, everything is achievable for me. And what happens when you achieve something? You start to master whatever you accomplish. So then you start to return your thinking to the neutral positive, you start to build the harmony back in your life. Here's another one. I always remain relaxed and thereby gain might over myself. I always remain relaxed and thereby gain might over myself. I always remain relaxed and thereby gain might over myself. So what you're doing there is you're reminding yourself to first of all relax, and by doing that, you'll start to gain might over yourself. You see, one of the creational natural laws is the law of harmony. And in the law of harmony, you have to keep your thinking neutral positive. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why these extraterrestrials can't walk among us right now. Because we're so either down or we're way too positive and we're just completely unstable. Look at the world around you. Look how unstable the world is. Look at all the companies that are having problems today. Look at the governments. You know, look at just the total instability that's everywhere. It's because we don't know how to think correctly. We're not neutral positive in our thinking. And these extraterrestrials, they cannot intermingle among us. They have to wear protective gear the few times they visit, because our thoughts are generating so much negative energy. And that's why the real key to solving all of our issues is learning to control our thinking. Now, the Meyer spirit form is 9.6 billion years old. These extraterrestrials knew he would incarnate at this time. His purpose for this lifetime is to store in written form the teachings that I've been talking about now, these teachings of the Spirit. Now, we live in an age called the third millennium. And in the third millennium, it's a time of confusion and maliciousness, because we're not living according to these neutral, positive principles. And our leaders right now are becoming megalomaniacal. They were taking away our rights of self-determination. There's something called a New World Order. The Meyer information refers to it as the Secret Dark Order. The Secret Dark Order is working to create a worldwide government, a kind of tyranny that's really beneficial to the elite, not beneficial to the most people. It's not a government based on these laws of love, laws of harmony, and law of striving. It's a evil entity, an organization that's focused on profit and focused on the profit for a few. So we are in a very difficult transitionary period. And during the third millennium, the other bad thing that is happening is that the people are becoming indolent and obtuse. And part of the reason they're becoming indolent and obtuse is because of electronic media. And this electronic media is literally destroying our brains. The cell phones, the televisions, they destroy our ability to focus. Let me urge you, if there's something you want to read online, print it out. Print it on a piece of paper. And then when you read it, you'll make a physical connection to this piece of paper and you'll be focused. Electronic media unfocuses you. It makes you completely scatterbrained. It destroys your brain, literally. It's that bad. It's no exaggeration. And it's the opposite of love. Love is a very focused thing. Nature is designed to be focused. You go out in nature, what are you going to hear? You're going to hear things that are peaceful. You're going to hear something that's going to help you relax. You're going to hear a focus. You'll feel the negative ions. You'll be transformed into a focus. Now, I'm hoping that this caller I have on the line is Nate. I'm not sure. I forget his number. If it's not Nate, then I will apologize to disturbing this listener. 559.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I hear you, sir, and you're loud and clear.
Okay, great. Great. How are you doing today?
I'm not dead, which is a good thing. are you going to talk a little about the player and music today?
Last week I had mentioned that they had some songs that were kind of like we had a couple of songs or three songs that are kind of that Billy had mentioned that reminded him of the Playorn music and stuff. So I already had taken the liberty in the chat room to go ahead and I pasted the three songs, and I mm-hmm. also put a link to the excerpt from the book, And Still They Fly. So I'm going to read that excerpt really quick here. And for us Earth people, music of the Arryns would sound very strange. The Arryns are the Playorn. That's the name of their planet. Would sound very strange, but on the other hand, it would also be harmonious and enrapturing, that we would not be able to withstand it very long. The yearning for this harmonious state would grow to overwhelming proportions within us. For this reason, Billy was not permitted to bring back the music from Planet Era when he stayed there once for a visit. He did explain to us that they have three musical pieces on Earth that are somewhat similar to harmony to the Pleiadian music. The book uses the word Pleiadian because this is actually was published before Billy came forward with the information that they were actually called the Playorn. And the word Pleiadian was a self-identifying factor that if someone was using the word Pleiadian, like I had been contacted by a Pleiadian, it would identify them as a liar. These pieces are the Barlow by Merci Ravel, the Valkyrie Ride from The Valkyrie, an opera by Richard Wenger, and The Course of Prisoners from Opera Nubiso by, I'm going to bastardize his name, so it's Giuseppe Verdi. Other than that, their composers use completely different instruments from ours. Unfortunately, I do not have any detail on their art and literature.
Go ahead.
So anyway, I also was, when I was looking through this, I came across something that that Billy had said from his, I think, letter from 1951, an open letter to all human beings on Earth, line number 40. Already at the end of the 50s, human beings, particularly the young, will begin to lead a life which is often only aligned with drugs, and then later, when the time of the 80s approaches, the drug problem will take an upper hand, whereby only pleasure will be meaningful and destructive, and dissonant sounds will characterize the world of music, whereby the psyche will be impaired and the entire behavior of those human beings who align themselves will with this destructive type of music will succumb to negativity. And we have the recent attacks and was in Paris where the death metal band, the terrorist attack happened. And these guys went in and started murdering a lot of people. So,
You know, Billy has stated that if we were in the presence of the Playorn, and if we could, you know, be in their presence, if they could tolerate our presence, we would also be kind of totally obsessed. You talked about us being obsessed with the music, but he also said that we couldn't live a normal life. And like if we had, you know, had a conversation with Semyase or Askit or Svath or Quetzal, that we would only want to be in their presence. We would be just like a little puppy dog for the rest of our life. So, you know, it's interesting that it's the same kind of thing with the music. Just that higher evolution of thinking, you know, portrayed in the music. I just thought that was really interesting. And the other thing, you know, in my contemplations of the Meyer information and talking about love and the difficulty of describing this higher kind of love, because it kind of reminds me of a sound more than anything, like a beautiful harmonious sound that, you know, maybe a chord of 7 or 8 musical tones all sounding at once in this beautiful harmony. And that's what the radiating love of creation is like to me. And how can you put that, how can you describe that, you know, to someone that, you know, may have never sensed that? So anyway, those are the two things that came to mind when you were talking about their music.
Well, I think this music also came up because we've been talking about the dangers of the media and stuff, but as such, media can also be used to the positive, especially if we start putting things out there that reinstill that sense of neutral positive thinking and balance. And one of the ways we can harmonize with our surroundings and those people around us and our thoughts is by listening to good music.
You know, and I think if you're having a rough time anyway, and if you're listening to heavy metal music, I mean, it's probably going to push you over the edge, I would think. I don't know. It's just my own observation. And I wanted to also bring up a little bit about creation and the love of creation. And we can get back on music, too, as well, because, you know, when it talks about the love of creation, it talks about opening yourself to the love of creation. And I think we have already within us here on the earth, we're kind of closed off and we're in a constant mode of protection all the time. It may relate also to the music, the disharmonious music. You know, it also kind of tenses you up and closes you off. And it says in Love Letter 27, if he opens the love of creation and he allows it to flow into himself, he becomes filled with respectful gratitude and great joy. And I think what we're seeing is a kind of music that does just the opposite. It doesn't fill you with gratitude and great joy. It motivates you to action, but not necessarily a good action. Could you elaborate on that, Nate?
Yeah, actually, I think I have the perfect thing. This is an excerpt from Contact Report 248. Billy says, when I observe people and hear the music that they listen to, I constantly determine that people so much resemble the music that they take in. You know, when we think of gangster rap or death metal or death rockers, or, you know, rock and rollers, or country music lovers, or even classical music lovers. Mm-hmm. You know, this is becomes so apparent, you know, when someone's having like a huge schizoid time. Oftentimes you'll find that they have a wide variety of music that is very it doesn't sync with the different types of music that they listen to, which I find interesting. Not that you can't enjoy something like that, but, you know, so when we're younger, the guys that wanted to be gangsters and stuff, they would listen to rap music and a lot of hatred music. I see a lot of, you know, I see a lot of bodybuilders like my nephew and stuff that listens to this really, it's just very poor thinking about other people. And so they're building up their muscles with, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe they're somehow they want to dominate others or they feel that they're being attacked and they need that to motivate themselves to push more and more and more to get bigger muscles or something like that. And I don't know if that's the motivation or not.
That's really an interesting observation. I totally understand what you're talking about. Being a person that's been in gyms for many, many years. But the music has changed. It is much very driving, very, it's hard to describe. I have a hard time even being in there very long in some places where that music is played. You know, and what's funny about this too is I think that there are a small amount of heavy metal that I think is actually, it has some good musical ideas. Like I think it could be rearranged and played on a classical guitar, a flamenco guitar, and probably sound pretty good and be helpful. So I'm not like throwing heavy metal completely under the bus here, but I think, like you're saying, yeah, there's just a real negativity. And I was watching a short YouTube video today of some protesters at some of the presidential stuff. And boy, then that's weird too. You know, it seems like these people are being driven by something. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a sense of, like you kind of said, call to action, but purposelessness. They don't, you know, and this is why oftentimes they can't hear the truth that someone's saying. I remember when I was younger watching a interview between a rap artist and a pastor of a church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the rap artists, the rap artist talks about, you know, his guns and his, you know, his money and his women and, you know, and now he's somebody and screw the guys that said he wasn't going to be someone. And he uses, basically just regurgitates a lot of hatred, right? And a lot of difference and bigotry and intolerance. And what's interesting about this is that every time the pastor would say, hey, you know what, you know, you're doing this, all the rap artists would do is like, you know what, you're just jealous because you're going after a successful man who came out of the hood, or, you know, and he wasn't hearing what the guy was saying, or, you know, I found that interesting, that, you know, not being able to hear what someone's actually saying.
Well, I wonder that the elite, the rich, may be promoting this kind of music, that they're trying to create intentionally a discord in the society in order to bring in certain control systems in place. I really think that, you know, if you read Contact 251, it has a lot of stuff in there that is kind of bizarre and kind of weird, and some of it may not even be likely to happen anymore, because I think we've had some good positive change in some ways, enough to get us out of the total immediate destruction anyway, perhaps. But if you go back to Contact 251, there was it talked about transhumanism and the merging of mankind with machines. And I think that in order, if they create chaos, if the global elite can create a chaos and bring in a kind of a martial law type scenario, or some scenario where there's a tyranny that's brought in, and what better way to put people under control by inserting a chip in them or something that will affect their thoughts, you know, that will kind of put them under control. So, I don't know, it's just some thoughts I had. Go ahead, you're about to say something. I kind of interrupted you there.
No, I thought about what you were, when you were saying there. I was thinking of, you know, it's about the value system, right? Now, things may be on the verge of tipping this way or that, and if enough people wake up and take responsibility for what they do, think, feel, and say, I mean, what an easier thing is there, you know, to act like an animal in nature, right? It has to be responsible. So as a human being, you should also be responsible. And that's all you have to do. It's like, hey, by the way, you are responsible for what you do, think, feel, and say. You can no longer give up your power to your generals or your presidents or your bosses or other human beings that take on, you know, a persona. And this is how weak the elite is as well. They're extremely weak, okay? But, you know, a bunch of chest puffing and whatnot. And I was just thinking, you know, it might not be that they're doing it. It's just by their processes, their way of thinking, that everybody else is, less than they are, and that it is their right or divine providence to rule, right? And so anything that comes out of that type of thinking will be a type of subjugation of free will, you know, a subjugation of the masses. And so it's oftentimes, and I think this is why we see throughout history, oftentimes things don't necessarily change because that energy is still around. And so when someone rises to power, it takes a real character or real quality of character to fight against that temptation of, you know, the idea that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well, I don't know. For some reason, when you were talking about that, I was thinking of how the Meyer information always says that our circumstances arise out of our thoughts. And I've been trying to analyze that a lot lately and trying to sense in myself when I can feel that I've gone off balance, where I've gone, okay, you know, I tell myself, well, that kind of felt like a negative thought. Maybe I need to try to readjust that. And it always seems like the feelings, you know, grow out of the thoughts. The thought comes so quick sometimes, it was hard to tell what triggered the negative feeling. But there is a lot of negative feeling all over the world. I mean, that's what I see. I was watching some video today where people were smashing up a cop car. That's one of these protests. You know, where is all this negative feeling coming from? Well, it has to be coming from the negative, unbalanced thoughts. And I wonder also if corporate America isn't playing some role in this whole thing. Because we get some weird messages. I mean, I try not to watch TV much, but we get these weird messages coming off the TV, you know, like, oh, eat a lot of sugar, you know. I mean, here, look at all this. This is great tasting. Eat all this crap. And then the next thing you get is, well, oh, you're going to need all these drugs. You know, and they go, you know, so you get all these drug commercials all the time. And then we get a lot of strange shows that seem to completely take us out of the whole idea of what real love is, you know. You get a lot of shows about romance and about there was a bunch of reality shows for a while that seemed to promote the idea of stabbing a person in the back. Remember when that was at All Out, Nate? I don't know.
Oh yeah. And I think and then everything kind of hinges upon that. It becomes okay. It becomes an accepted norm. You know, it's kind of like a lady and I were having a discussion, a lady I work with recently, and she was talking about how one of her friends who's black was going off on all cops and hating all cops and stuff, was really reading them the Riot Act of this. And I kept on mentioning, or I was mentioning to her, well, does he ever say what he wants, or is he just complaining? You know, what is he doing? All right, hold on, someone's at the door.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I mean, if you look at media today, it's definitely taken us away from the law of harmony, which is one of the creational natural laws that tells us that we should be neutral positive in our thinking. And if we're not neutral positive in our thinking, then the law of harmony says, suffering comes in. And you'll remember that good thoughts lead to good feelings. Good feelings lead to good habits. And good habits lead to good circumstances in your life. And you are the master of your own destiny. And you can and will bring good circumstances in your life if you think good thoughts, because out of the thoughts come all of the circumstances in your life. So if your thoughts are healthy, and I think one of the healthiest thoughts that you can have is focused on these principles that are talked about in love. Let me cover a few of these. All of nature in its incredible splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. Its laws are so wonderfully arranged that people everywhere come up against its radiating love. However, the key here is not to close your senses, because if you close your senses, you'll feel like there is no love in the world. But the fact is that creation has formed and arranged everything so wonderfully so that people can recognize the majestic love of creation at every moment and every place. And I want to take us back to when Billy was very, very young, and it was a warm night in May, and he crawled out a lower window in his bedroom, sat down on a bench that his father had made, and he looked up at a beautiful starry sky, and he said, "My life exists because of the love of creation." And he saw the light of the stars, but he recognized an invisible light, which he called the love of creation. And then he was filled with good memories and the longing for faraway worlds. And he had kind of he knew who he was. He knew what the purpose of his life was at that point. And then after this profound experience, which you can read in an article, it's called How It All Began, he tried to tell the pastor. The pastor, Pastor Rudolph Zimmerman, understood what he was saying. Pastor Zimmerman had also had contact with these Pleiaren individuals in terms of telepathic contact. So it was shortly thereafter that Billy started to get the cooling sensation on his forehead, and he started to get the telepathic messages from Svath. And he would go out into the forest near his home in Bulak, and out of the sky would come the silvery pear-shaped craft, and Billy would be, he would walk over to the ship, and then he would be pulled into the ship, and he would look around on all these displays, and he could see all the people that Svath was watching and studying, and Svath took him up high above the earth and looked at the beautiful blue marble from space, a tremendous view. And then Svath started to tell him about his previous lives, and that he had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And then in each of these lives, he taught this universal teaching, but that this age that he was born into now was called the third millennium. And in the third millennium, it would be a time of confusion and maliciousness. And he was told to stay in the background because the people of the earth make for themselves idols. And he was told that he would have great suffering in life. And that was one of the things that happens to these teachers. And his wife turned against him. There was many attempts on his life. But Svath kept teaching Billy and preparing him for the time that he has now. Eventually, Svath passed away. But before he did, he told Billy to go up on a specific hill in Switzerland and wait for a craft, and that his second teacher would send him a craft. And that did happen. And a robotic craft landed, and Billy stepped in the ship, and the ship sped away, and it became invisible, and Billy couldn't even see his own body. And it sped all the way to Jordan. It landed in Jordan, and Billy stepped out, and he could see the heat. He could see the red rocks and feel the heat. And then out of the sky came down what looked like a falling star that got larger and larger, and that was Ascot's 300-foot disk, Ascot from the Tao universe. And after Billy had to wait a half an hour, she stepped out. And Billy had a bit of a deja vu, like he knew somehow deep in his body that he recognized who she was. And she walked over to him, and they both went into her ship, and then they went off to Egypt. And this was the time when Ascot took Billy far below the Giza Plateau into the headquarters of the Giza intelligence. They both had devices on that made them invisible, but Billy saw the ships, he saw the guards, he saw the religious artifacts, and eventually they did leave. But Billy was very touched, and he was very moved by all this, and he was a tad confused as well. And Ascot explained to him that there had been kind of an unruly group on the Earth that had influenced the history of the people on the Earth very much. And they could be traced all the way back to the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, and even after that. Even after that great civilization destroyed itself, people came back, the descendants of these people, one of which was Eris the 11th, and he was the first one of a whole chain of leaders that kind of lorded it over the people of the earth. They were the gods of old, and they created religions, and they tormented the people of the earth, and there was a great violence. And eventually they went underground, and with Arisaim. Arisaim was the one that kind of first went underground, and the Myra material explains that one of these individuals was called Hen, who was also known as Jehovah. And they claim that this was actually an extraterrestrial, the god of the Old Testament. So that's and that's how we've been influenced over time. And that's so, where we are today. Go ahead, Nate. Did you have something to throw in there?
I was going to say that reminded me of Hitler. Didn't you say that Hitler had a handler by the Befoth?
I love the way you put that. Yes, that's a perfect way to put it. He had a handler, Hermann Steinschneider, who was his real name. He went by another name. And he was a member of the Thule Society. And Hitler actually would have been a very positive person. And that was kind of his destiny. And the Pleiaren said that he would have done much to unify the people of the earth. But this group, you know, Hermann Steinschneider, and he was also influenced by the Giza intelligence, this Hermann Steinschneider, eventually brought about this kind of delusional power lust in Hitler that kind of sent him off the deep end. Go ahead.
So that's interesting because reading about Hitler, you find out that, you know, he had a very loveless upbringing, a lot of abuse or things that we wouldn't consider right today. And you also find out this parallels Billy's story in that his life was going to be hard and miserable. And I remember reading some things that what happened with Billy is, you know, he's in a 5-year-old body, but he has the thinking capacity of a 36-year-old. And what's interesting about that is that he had to endure a lot of hardship at the hands of others, including his own family, because when he oftentimes became the brunt of accusations, and for some reason he he never sought to defend himself against anything.
You know, so. along those lines, I don't know if you've ever heard any of the translated speeches of Hitler. It'll really open your mind up. Because if you read the subtitles while Hitler's speaking, I mean, we're programmed. We only see Hitler speaking, and he's pounding his fist, and he seems like a lunatic, right? But when you listen to what he's saying, he's extremely logical and extremely clear thinker. He would be very, very persuasive. And I think that's why it's interesting how these things happen in my life at the same time, because I learned about this stuff, about the Hermann Steinschneider stuff. And then I just stumbled across these YouTubes of Hitler with the translated part on the bottom. I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy, he was very insightful. I mean, he was very insightful. Because if you see the images from World War II, you think, oh, this guy is just a total lunatic. What could cause all these people to follow this guy? Well, he was a brilliant guy, and he was very intelligent, and he was very logical. And he's not the people that we painted him out to be in the West. Now, he did go kind of crazy near the end of his life, certainly. But go ahead, Nate. I just kind of rambled there a bit. But
so it would be interesting even to speculate, like, you know, with great pressure, you know, or great molding, you can get a very sharp sword, you know, but that sword can swing, you know, at the bushes to clear your path, or it could swing at you.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy might have been, if they would have found out about him, or if he wasn't under the protection at a young age from the ETs or from the Playorn and the Timmers, then, you know, what kind of monster would the Bifoth had made him in, or made him out to be? You know,
wow.
Or created out of him.
That's very profound speculation. Wow, that would have been scary. I hate to think what would have happened. Because, you know, the Meyer stays in the background intentionally. And if he came to the forefront, just think if he came to the forefront with, you know, and that's interesting. Just think if there was some, you know, trillionaire behind Billy Meyer. Well, that's interesting. You know, you wonder if the information would get across the earth, but maybe it has to grow slowly. Maybe if it doesn't grow slowly, then it could cause too much turmoil, do you think?
Yeah, that reminds me of that whole saying, good things take time.
Yes. Isn't that a saying? One of his. Where is that located? I
know that I've read it so many places, and it's something I've used throughout my days, even before I knew of his material. But I think I've read it also in The Way to Live.
It is in The Way to Live, and that reminds me of the trend of our corporate environment is not to allow good things to take time. I think we are pushed to go faster. And in fact, if it takes too much time, they'll lose interest.
They use each other. Absolutely. And they use you against your other fellow employees. And people don't even know their own power. No. Oftentimes, managers and upper managers are extremely ineffective. If the mass below them wakes up and goes, wait a second, let's not mistreat each other, you know, then they have to slow down. You know, if you get a bad boss and all the employees just stop working, you really send a message, you know. And then there's been a huge push about how bad unions are and all this other stuff, but unions are absolutely what is needed. You know, especially in our day and age, you know, when Bush came into office, he went about trying to break all the unions, and he successfully did, the unions have lost so much power. They used to be a lot, and they were doing good for people and stuff, but just a lot of the people that were supporters of Bush would say, well, I don't care about those people, you know? And then...
The problem is the masses are so easily misled today. Don't you think? I mean, people that are even good people, I think, are misled. It's just there's a persuasiveness in the media that it's strange. I just marvel at it.
Yeah, they just become a middleman for the media. Just like kids nowadays are a middleman for Google or the internet. They can't think for themselves. They didn't earn anything. So when you're talking, you're not talking to them. You're talking to the internet, which in itself doesn't change. It's very static, right? So if you read a page on Wiki about Billy Mayer and then find out, oh, yeah, it's speculative that he met with aliens or he did this. I mean, the evidence is pretty overwhelming that, you know, and anybody who takes, you know, a little bit of time to look into this case will find out, oh, well, this is the genuine article. And if it's not, then there are no real cases, you know.
Well, even the teaching itself is of great value. I mean, if you want to take the whole extraterrestrial thing out of it, fine. But the teaching itself is just of tremendous value. So
stuff you can
apply,
right? Absolutely. You can apply it yourself today, right now, and you will. What do they say? There's a statement about the waxing, or you will grow like the waning moon or the waxing moon on the new moon or something like that. I'm going to get that, and I'm going to bring it to the table so everybody can hear. But and it's true. Yeah, definitely true. And I got a lot of stories.
You recently posted something that I put on my Facebook page, and it's something you put on YouTube. Can you talk about that just a little bit, and then we better close out. We're over the hour.
Sure. Recently, I did a 7 principles for the aspiring one, and if anybody's listening, they'd like to listen to that. It's on YouTube, and it really is something that you should probably read once a day to remind yourself of your power and your and to come back to the whole neutral positive way of thinking. I just recently went through some stuff, and one thing you know is that the stuff you go through is going to be highly subjective. And that's where your power is at anyways. Your power of understanding and everything is there. All right, if that place is messed up, then everything's messed up.
So explain what you're talking about here. You're saying that it can be highly subjective. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's not measured in an objective sense. For example, I'm going through a move right now. I'm in the middle of a relationship that has broken apart, and I pick up this person's feelings all the time, and they're very negative. And I started noticing that I actually had the opposite of feelings that one might consider positive, swinging ways, right? But they were both a form of control. They were both impulsing me or trying to through compulsory action to either lead to violence or an over indulgence would the word be for I don't know, lust.
Really?
Yeah. So you have one. Yeah, I have two. You know, when maybe you're younger and you feel that, oh, I'm so attracted to this person, da 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 da. You know, you're usually being affected in a lustful way, right? But we don't pick up on that. Oftentimes we'll equate that to love, and then we'll get married, then 2 years down the road we'll be like, what did I do?
The false form of love. And that's how we started this show out. The love concept can be seen as either affective or effective. Affective referring to more of the romantic style of love and is characterized by its transient nature in that it comes and goes, rises to great heights, and then plummets to great depths, leading often to despair. Affective love, on the other hand, is a love that is based on our innermost being and is in no way transient, can never transpire. The affective love is the love that creation is and that can also be sensed and perceived and felt. And maybe that's a good place to end. Thanks, Nate. I appreciate you coming on the show, buddy. Hang in there with your trials and tribulations. I've got a few of my own, don't we all? And we'll see you guys probably tomorrow on Sunday, and we'll be on Revolution Radio tonight. Have a good evening. See ya.